the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
We're joined now by John Mooney, the investigations editor of the Ireland edition of the Sunday Times. Fascinating story in yesterday's newspaper that is worth returning to. It is how, as part of an investigation that he did alongside Bellingcat, he managed to find the Kinahans hiding in plain sight in Dubai. John, thank you very much for joining us. Now, tell us about, you know, why it's hiding in plain sight in Dubai. Was there not some sort of extradition agreement done with the Irish and with the Americans looking to bring the Kinahans back from Dubai?
So, Matt, it's really important that the listeners understand the current status of the Kinahans, as in Daniel Kinahan and Christy Kinahan. Ireland has sought and entered into bilateral agreements with the United Arab Emirates concerning extradition. However, they have not sought the extradition of Daniel Kinahan or his father, Christopher. So that's the first thing. So they're currently not wanted in this jurisdiction at the moment. So people often get confused with the imposition of sanctions and the offering of a reward by the US government for information on the cartel leaders and various people associated with them. So in 2022, the American government imposed sanctions on the cartel and a number of people associated with it, including Daniel and Christopher Kinahan, and they also offered a collective reward of $15 million for information leading to their arrest and subsequent conviction. So that's where that stands. So technically, in the United Arab Emirates, the Kinahans are not accused of anything, although they are in the Western Hemisphere. In different parts of the world, American sanctions simply do not apply. Now, the UAE will say that they have taken action against the Kinahans, that they've seized, I think we reported, $200 million belonging to them, and they have identified a vast money laundering network that they operate from there, but they have yet to take any meaningful action against them in terms of deporting them or removing them from their jurisdiction. And indeed, many of the companies that the Kinahans control, either directly or through proxies, are openly trading and still operating as normal in Dubai.
Why are they allowing them to operate as normal if they've already seized $200 million worth of assets?
I believe, and we've documented this for the past number of years as part of the project that I'm involved in with that the Kinahans have ingratiated themselves with the elites of the United Arab Emirates. That country is a feudal monarchy. The rule of law is not applied the way the rule of law is applied in this state and indeed many other European countries. So if you've got the right connections, you've got the right friends, and you've got the correct influence, you can pretty much do what you want.
Does that involve making payments for protection effectively?
So the best way of describing this is that the Kinahan cartel is not a normal criminal organization. In this country, people tend to view them as a drug trafficking organization, but they're not. They're much more better described as a hybrid. So they exist at that intersection between organized crime, politics, terrorism, and militancy. And in that space, they've developed a pretty effective means of survival insofar as that they know governments, they know people within governments, they support and facilitate terrorist organizations like Hezbollah, they're involved with Iran, they're involved with Russia, and they have friends everywhere. They are a truly global organization. So that, of course, involves running payments and creating favors for people that require it and ask it of them. So I've no doubt, certainly some of the people that we've connected the Kinahans to are very powerful figures in the United Arab Emirates, but also in Iran and in Russia and in other parts of the world.
So does that mean that, given that they're involved in things like money laundering and other things, that they're not just knuckle-dragging thugs who get involved in sort of strong-arming everyone, that there are people employed within this organisation who might be accountancy sophisticates, for example.
Matt, there's a misguided belief in this country, and it goes right through, you know, the media, society, and elements of the guards, that this cartel operates and is loosely based and controlled by a very small number of people, that which are led by Christy Kinahan. Anyone who's followed the work of the Sunday Times and Bellingcat in relation to our ongoing investigation into these issues would know that the Kinahans have people from all different walks of life working for them. And that in countries right across the world. So we've identified people that are business people in Australia. We've identified business people and legal professionals in Southeast Asia. We've identified people in the United States and in Canada. We've got identified all sort types of people that are moving and investing money on their behalf in Europe. And indeed, many of these people, or I would argue the majority of them, are not really known to the guards or European law enforcement agencies at all. They're a real, truly true global organization. I would be really hesitant to accept some of the analysis that they're just kind of tugs that came from Dublin. There's an aspect to them that is just that, but Christy Kinahan himself speaks about six or seven languages. He's a very intelligent man. He's a very cosmopolitan man and refined man. He tends to use violence as a strategic tool as opposed to just nilly-willy, which is a claim that might be made against his eldest son, Daniel. So they're very smart people. It would be really naive to suggest that they're sort of just successful drug dealers. They're far much more than that. And indeed, I would argue that drug trafficking is only now constitutes just a percentage of their activity. They're involved in all sorts of other criminal activities, but also legitimate business activities. Because when you're controlling a criminal empire that's worth about 1.5 billion, you have to engage in legitimate business activity. They've got such wealth at this stage, they actually can't differentiate between the two.
Okay, tell us about the photographs that you managed to get for yesterday's Sunday Times and how you got them.
So, journalism and investigative journalism is moving at light speed these days. So intelligence collection, handling informants and everything else, that has all been democratized in recent years. So one of the most powerful aspects of modern investigative journalism is using what is called open source intelligence. That is the examination of publicly available images, video, social media posts, public records, whatever it is. My colleagues in Bellingcat specialised that, and indeed many people would argue invented that type of intelligence collection that's now used by security services and militaries right across the world. So as part of our ongoing project, we continuously monitor the activities of the Kinahans, and that could be cash movements, that could be their locations themselves, but also their associates. And we continuously scan the internet for information and images of them. So as part of one of those searches, we regularly look at their associates and their locations. And during one of those searches, where we use facial recognition software, very powerful facial recognition software that scans the internet for images of certain individuals, we got a hit on an image that showed Daniel Kinahan and a number of others attending a mixed martial art fighting championship in Dubai last June. Once we had that image, I confirmed that it was Daniel Kinahan. And once we were able to place where that image was taken using various means, we began searching the actual arena where this event had taken place and scanning images taken from it, and also video footage taking of the various fights. And in the background to the footage taken at that event, we were able to see a man in a Panama hat dressed in a certain way in the VIP section. So after frame by frame examination of that footage and using digital forensic techniques to enhance it, we were able to see that was Christy Kinahan. And following on from that, we then went through a process of identifying him and confirming that it actually was him. You must remember, Christy Kinahan left this country many years ago. Very few people have seen him since then. And he hasn't been really seen maybe in the last, I think it's nearly a decade at this stage, since he's been spotted or an image taken of him.
Sorry, that was so when he moved from Spain to Dubai, is it?
Well, they left Spain for Dubai 10 years ago. And I think it was before then was the last time that he was actually seen or photographed. So we had to get, without going into the intricacies of it for security reasons, we had to get people that may have met him in that period and were able to give a positive identification.
Okay, just one thing that you said that was very interesting as well, John, a little bit earlier, about all the connections that the Kinahan cartel would have beyond drugs and beyond money laundering and things like arms dealing with the likes of Iran and Russia and the Gulf states. Is that not going to get very complicated as to what side they're on now with all that's going on in the region?
I think that's a fair assessment, and it's a correct assessment. And I think the Sunday Times and Bellingcat will be releasing more information on those type of issues in the near future. But they live in that netherworld where they've become extremely powerful, but also very adaptable, and they understand how to avoid running into difficulties in that sphere. You must remember that they have managed to succeed and survive against all the odds. I mean, Matt, if I can put it maybe bluntly, how many newspaper reports, how many commentators have predicted their demise in the past 20 years only to discover they've just got bigger and bigger? I mean, it would be my assessment now that whilst they may have difficulties in terms of where they're located, and they may be experiencing lots of different problems in terms of the changing world order and the nature of security in the Middle East, they have managed to survive so far. But they're also, because of their wealth, they have the ability to move and relocate to lots of different parts of the world. I mean, this kind of nonsense that they're not able to get on a flight or they possibly can't travel, I mean, that is completely untrue. The Kinahan cartel have access to private aircraft. At one stage, Christy Kinahan himself had an airside pass for Dubai International and may still actually have that, and was able to walk onto planes without even going through customs or security checks. So these are very entrepreneurial, powerful and well-connected criminals. Ireland has never seen anything like this before. We've certainly never produced it, but they're no longer an Irish problem. They're a world type problem. I always describe them as similar to the villains that you saw in the Spectre James Bond film, or maybe the characters in the Night Manager series. You're talking at a level. There's a level of organized crime there that really, you know, we haven't seen in this country before. So the sort of you have to really step out of our own sort of environment to understand what they are.
Thank you very much. John Mooney, Investigations Editor of the Ireland edition of the Sunday Times. We'll be back with the 6 at 6 after this.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.